We read in Ephesians chapter 5. We read these verses, and I skipped over the list there, not to avoid the individual sins, but it talks about coming out of darkness. And for many of us, that might be different darkness, but it's all away from the light. You know, any sin is away from the light of Christ. And it talks about reproving the works of darkness. And when Brother David mentioned that testimony about talking about Jesus, and people stop and listen. I've had people apologize to me, like they'll say something, and they'll realize, you know, who we are, who we represent, and they'll say, "I'm sorry, I didn't mean to say that around you." You know, that feeling of the light repels the darkness. That there's a presence there, as Angie just sang about. There's a presence there, and you can't avoid it. And those verses remind us that if we were once in darkness, that now we're not anymore. We walk in the light. And reminds us to remember, as Pastor said this morning, remember where we came from, mainly so we remember not to go back the same way, so we stay far away from it. We sing a song in the regular songbook, "Only a Sinner Saved by Grace." Brother Wayne and the ladies play that offertory sometimes, "Thanks to Calvary, I don't come here anymore," talking about the places of the world and sin. I was saying "Amazing Grace, I once was lost, but now I'm found." That contrast between the dark and the light, that there was a hopelessness, there was a helplessness, but I was blind, but now I see. As Lydia sang about this morning, "Go ask the blind man, he saw it all. And Jesus led me all the way." Brother Laurel testified about it tonight. You can look back and say, "I don't want to go back there, but Jesus led me out of that mess. Jesus provided a way of escape, paid for my sin. Gives me eternal home in heaven, but gives me blessings right now here on earth." Verse 13, we read it, "All things are reproved or made manifest by the light." If we get Jesus in our life, the light of Christ shows us what we need to fix, and it repels the darkness. And again, this verse I made the emphasis of tonight, redeeming the time. Brother Leroy, I'm going to talk about the little word tonight, the, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. That word evil talks about the disease of sin. And if you've ever dealt with somebody that has a destructive disease, you know that it does not take a day off. You don't go visit them and they're not sick anymore. They are sick unto death, and sin is the same way. Sin doesn't take a day off, and the days are evil. And the time needs to be redeemed. It doesn't say, it used to bother me when preachers would say this because feels like filler, but the Bible does not say some of the time. It says the time. It doesn't say a lot of the time or most of the time. It says the time. And it also doesn't say most of the days are evil or some of the days are evil. It says the day. So it kind of paints a picture of a whole set. It's all or nothing. You know, it's the time that needs to be redeemed, and the days are evil or sick and diseased in sin. It really means that. It means all or nothing. If you don't redeem the time because the days are evil, you're wasting it. In verse 15, we read it, but it says, "See then that you walk circumspectly," and that word means exactly, using the right actions, the right word, measuring your steps, measuring the words that you say, being careful, diligent, "not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil." So number one, as an introduction, I said don't waste what God has given us. Watch. Instead of wasting the resources that we have, the time that we have, watch, walk circumspectly. And then the next verse says, "Wherefore be ye not unwise," verse 17. And that word unwise uses a bad word. I made a mistake in telling all my kids all the words I did not want them to say were bad words. So now every now and then if I say one of those words, my kids will say, "You said a bad word." And I didn't say a bad word, I just said a word that I didn't want them to say. But that word unwise, it says be not unwise. It seems like it would have been easier just to say be wise, but the word unwise is talking about stupid. I tell my kids don't say the word stupid, but it's talking about being willingly stupid or ignorant, choosing to remain ignorant. And all of us have either been in this situation or tried to deal with somebody that was just completely set in what they believed, and they would not listen to reason, they would not listen to any type of argument or evidence, they were just willingly stupid. And that's a bad word, don't say it. But unbelieving and choosing to be unbelieving. You know, the Bible says, "The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. He makes an absolute statement that is absolutely false, but he absolutely believes it. He says there is no God. He doesn't question it. He's not agnostic. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. And that's stupid, because you deny creation, you deny the belief in God, you deny the evidence of God, and you make an absolute statement that is absolutely wrong. And that's why the Bible says, be not unwise, rash, egotistical, and unbelieving in choosing to stay that way, but understanding. So don't be unwise, which is a choice, but be understanding, which is also a choice. And that means to put it together. Think about sitting down and putting a puzzle together. Say, all right, here's the edges. They're smooth on one side. Here's the color blue. Put all the blue pieces together. You figure it out. You understand it. Both of those things take effort. It takes effort to stay ignorant, and it takes effort to be understanding. It takes effort. And you got to put the pieces together. Therefore, be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And God says, I want you to work at it. I want you to figure it out, because I want you to have that sense of completion when you find the will of God to do it. I want you to work a little bit at it. I want you to understand it. Instead of using that energy and wasting it on being ignorant, I want you to use it to figure it out. Don't be selfishly stupid. Figure some things out for yourself with God's help. Figure some things out that God has for you to do. Some of the testimonies mentioned tonight, you could see where God led you to do something. You led you into action, and you did it. And then, as an introduction, don't fill yourself up. Be filled. There's a difference. Again, there's a difference between being unwise, which takes effort, and being understanding, which takes effort. And there's a difference between filling yourself up and allowing yourself to be filled. The next verse says, be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. And I'll just confess to you tonight, I am a substance abuser. I've never drank wine, but I like Diet Coke and Snickers and Kit Kat bars. And all of us have something that we like to take a substance and say, I need more. I need to fill myself up. This morning in Sunday school, we were reading those verses in the book of Acts about how they shared the early church. You know, they shared what they had. They shared their resources and gave to people as they had need. And I happened to mention that somebody had put some Kit Kat bars in my desk, and I pulled one out to enjoy for myself, and my loving wife decided that she had to share with everybody in the room. And then I wished that I hadn't just read that verse about how we have to share everything. But all of us have something that might not be yours, but some of you have something that you're trying to fill yourself. You're saying, well, if I just had one more, I'd be good. If I just had one more, I'd be filled up. It mentions wine here. If I just had one more, I would be filled up and I would be good. But then it says, be filled with the Spirit. Again, a contrast between the energy that we waste and the energy that we should use. Making ourselves available for God to fill us. God has that responsibility to fill us with His Spirit, and He's told us He will. He's told us not to quench the Spirit. He's told us to be full of the Spirit and in His will and His time. And if once we stop trying to fill ourselves and be drunk or whatever it is, be over on a chocolate high, whatever it is, and once we yield ourselves to God, He can do the filling instead of us trying to do it by ourselves. So since it's not most of the time or some of the time, since it's the time that we need to redeem, and since it's not some days and not every day that the days are evil, we need to take the time and the days that God has given to us and realize it's not a drill. It's not a practice run. If you might remember, if you were in school, they probably still had bomb drills because it was 100. You know, I like Brother Bill always skips old-fashioned day in the morning. They're the pilgrims, and then they skip about 200 years, and they're from the 50s, so they really get into it. But if you ever had a drill, you know, a fire drill or a bomb drill, whatever it would be, and you went through the motions and prepared like it was the real thing, this is not the drill. This is the real thing. And we only have a certain number of time, and we only have a certain number of evil days where people are still looking for the light. There's only so much time. And since that's true, the next verse, we should stay on the same wavelength, pointed in the right direction. I noticed Friday night somebody left a guitar pick up here, and I was reading my little Greek dictionary thing, not a Greek person, but they left a guitar pick up here. And that word in Ephesians 5:19, it says, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody. And that word melody, I think it was in the bulletin this morning, but the word melody talks about to twitch or to twang. So it's not, the twang's not in the King James, but the explanation is there, the twang. To twitch or to twang to play on a stringed instrument. And again, it's painting the picture of a person strums a guitar, he creates a vibration, and that vibration is amplified and gets to your eardrum, and your eardrum begins to vibrate, and that's the way you hear something. You go from one twang to another twang in your ear, and you receive it. And if God says, I want you to get ready to be filled so you can be useful, be on the same wavelength. Everybody ever uses the word that resonated with me? I picked up what you were trying to explain. It resonated. I heard it. We are on the same channel. We're on the same wavelength. Filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. So aimed in the right direction, on the same wavelength, vibrating and listening to the same thing. And then the next verse, it says, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. It talks about our direction, our thinking, the way that we process things, and the music that we listen to, that we talk to ourselves about, and then about when we should be thankful. Again, when we pray for a meal, when I was a little kid, I always thought we should just pray at the end of the meal to make sure that it was good before we were thankful for it. You know, depending on what it was, you might change the prayer, but we always pray before you eat. And if we looked at life that way, it might make us more thankful. You know, instead of thanking someone after the fact, we could just thank God for them. A lot of things in life, I think, would be better if we just said ahead of time, I'm going to be thankful. No matter how it turns out, it might be collard greens and Brussels sprouts or whatever it might be, whether you like those or not, but you might be thankful ahead of time, giving thanks always in all things, for all things unto God. So be prophetic, be a future thankful person, and then show the love and care and respect to others. The rest of Ephesians 5 talks about our relationships, husbands and wives, and parents and children, and that first verse there in verse 21 of the rest of the chapter says, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Everything that the Bible commands us here, it refers back to God. It talks about the way we should treat one another, the way we should treat ourselves, the way we should talk to ourselves and sing to ourselves, and then it mentions because of God, because of the fear of God, in your heart to the Lord, be filled with the Spirit, submitting, finding, understanding the will of God. All these things that we should be doing on a daily basis refer back to the will of God, God's Spirit working within us, submitting ourselves one to another within the will of God. Jesus talked about our attitude and our actions toward others in Matthew chapter 5. He said, you've heard it hath been said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say unto you that ye resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite thee on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. And if any man will sue thee at the law and take away thy coat, let him have thy cloak also. And whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain. Give to him that asketh thee, and from him that would borrow of thee, turn not thou away. Ye have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be the children of your Father, which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and surely I wrote this down, and sendeth rain on the just and the unjust. Somebody wants the rain and somebody else does not, but God is the one that decides it. And God says, why don't you just be good to the ones that you call friends and the ones that you call enemies, and let God send the rain and the sunshine. For if ye love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans the same? And if ye salute your brethren only, what do ye more than others? Do not even the publicans so? Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father, which is in heaven, is perfect. Jesus said, it's not about how you feel about a person. It's about how you feel about God. It's not about how you feel about how you should treat other people. It's how you want God to treat you. And those are some of the most difficult verses in the whole Bible to read, because I actually understand what they mean, and they're convicting. You know, some of them you can just kind of skim over and like, well, I don't know about that, but I know what it means, and it's hard to follow. It's difficult to read that and think it's not about the people that we're treating good or bad. It's what we say that reflects God's love for us. We're honoring the Father when we obey him. Stop loving like a sinner loves. He used the publican as an example. You know, just stop loving the way the publicans love and start loving like a Savior loves. God loves, so he gave. If we want to redeem the time, and this is a sin-diseased world, and so much more than when it was written, but it's so much more sin-diseased and so much less time, we will grow our capacity to be filled by loving because he first loved us. Jesus told the parable of the people before the king, and you know the story better than I'm trying to explain it, but they were standing before a king, and he said, You never gave me clothes when I was naked. You never gave me food when I was hungry. And he said, depart from me. And then the other group of people, he says, you helped me, you fed me, you clothed me. And they said, we never saw you, king. We don't know what you're talking about. And he said, inasmuch as you have done it unto the least of these, my brethren, ye have done it unto me. He said, you never saw the king and served the king. You only saw poor people that needed clothes and poor people that needed food. And you only saw other sinners to help, but when you did it to the least of these, you did it unto me. So if we love God, not about other people, because there will come time in your life where people aren't your favorite. But if you love God, then the way that we show our love to him is by loving other people. And if we love God, if we love him, we will pray for them. The Bible says we ought always to pray. We ought to watch and pray always. We ought to pray with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. If we love him, if we love God, we should pray for them. Pray for those that we love at the moment and those that we might call our enemies. We should pray for them if we love God. If we love God, we should serve them. In 1 Corinthians, it says, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. And again, if you're doing it for other people, you're going to feel empty and vain sometimes. But if you're doing it to serve God, to show your love for him, you will serve them. And then the last one, that was one, two, and this is number three. If you love God, we'll be ready with a reason for our hope. We mentioned the funeral you're going to tomorrow, that you can praise the Lord that you know where your brother is because you have hope. Because you have a reason for your hope. In 1 Peter it says, sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Some of those willingly stupid, ignorant people might ask, well, what's different with you? Why are you the way that you are? Why do you act the way that you act? You know, they're confident in their unbelief. But they might stop, and the Bible says every man says, be ready to give an answer to every man that asketh you, and be willing and be ready to give that answer and say, well, this is what I believe based on what God's word says. God tells us to stay in the Spirit. He tells us to speak to ourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs and remind ourselves that God loved us, that he loved us so much he sent Jesus to be our Savior, that Jesus was willing to die on the cross to pay for our sins, that because he did that, not because of anything that we did, but because of what Jesus was willing to do for us, it gives us eternity, eternal home in heaven, and it gives us blessings right now on earth if we're circumspect, if we're paying attention. It's an all or nothing thing. There's the time and the days, not some or most, but there's the time and there's the days, so stay available. Stay on the same wavelength, pointed in the right direction. Sometimes when I get in my wife's car, I don't like the radio station she's tuned to. So I always change it back to something that I like. But what frequency are you tuned into? She listens. We have different tastes. But stay on the same wavelength. What frequency are you resonating on? What twang is in your heart that is also from the mouth of God? If God is speaking, are you listening? Be future forward thinking in your Thanksgiving. Say, I don't know what's for dinner, but I'm going to thank God for it ahead of time. I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow, but I'll go ahead and be thankful. And then show love and care and respect to others, independent of the way they treat you, not dependent on their actions and attitudes, but completely because of your love and respect and care for God. In Colossians it says, whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord you shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. If we agree with God, most of us do, I always get old-fashioned day, I have a twang of nostalgia and a twang of the world's getting worse and worse, but most of us would say the days are evil. We agree with God that the days are evil, then we should agree that we should redeem the time. The evil days full of death and disease of sin, You can read all about it in the verses I skipped, but we fight the same sin today, and we're pulled out of that darkness. Well, how are we redeeming the time? And that word redeem, to buy it all up, to buy it back, to buy it all up and use all of it in prayer and serving and giving someone the hope of Jesus. We're going to have a word of prayer. If Pastor doesn't change his mind, we're going to sing that last song in the book. There's a sweet, sweet spirit in this place. One of my favorite songs in any songbook. And it reminds us that the Spirit doesn't come from humans. It comes from God. It doesn't come from sinful men. We're able to sing, have that thought because of what God has given to us. And God says, hey, I want you to spread it around. I want you to share it with somebody that hasn't heard. Let's have a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for loving us. Thank you for the Spirit that you put in our hearts based on what we know that Jesus has done for us, that we're not worthy, that nobody around us is worthy, but we don't love them because they're worthy. We love them because we love you. We don't serve them because they're worthy. We serve them because we love you. And we don't tell them what they need to hear, maybe because we don't know them, we don't love them the way that we should, but we should tell them because we love you. Help us to do that tonight. Help us to shore up where we might have fallen away and make those decisions that you have for us to make tonight. Thank you for the Spirit in the service tonight. We know it comes from you. Bless our invitation. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.